Man, that song's good. It's one of my favorite songs. We went down to a Celebrate Recovery, and the way I remember it, it was, I don't know if it was right at the first of a year or something like that, and we went down, and me and Rebecca were sitting, as a group of us sitting, that was when they had the COVID stuff. We were in this big old 1,000-seat auditorium, and they stretched us out, and there's probably 20 people in there. It looked weird. But we were all sitting on one row, and they were playing that song. And we were trying to have a conversation. All of a sudden, I got to listen to the song, talking to her. I said, hold on a minute. I'm about to have a meltdown. And because every time that song gets me every – it's about the only song. There's two songs I will sing. I will literally get outside of myself and start singing, and all of a sudden, I could feel Melissa being like, what are you doing? I miss most of the words, but I don't care. I just sing whatever I feel like. Went to Oklahoma. Y'all know that. I want to try to sum up that trip. I'm just still processing the information for myself. Sleep deprivation, migraine headache, a ton of preaching, spiders, not just regular spiders, tarantulas, some cornhole, and a whole lot of messed up flights. But God's good. Amen. Preached a lot. A lot of people got stuff out of it, apparently. I don't even know if I was speaking gibberish or not. I have no idea. I remember I probably didn't sleep the first 24 hours I was there. Tossed and turned. 15 hours. Migraine headache. Another probably 8 hours, no sleep. Preaching Friday, Saturday. Whew, messed up time. Boy, crazy. It was crazy. You know all I could think about? Every time I rolled over, couldn't go to sleep, you know, I kept thinking, God, you're good. And you say, why would you say that? And I told them that. I told all the men at this men's retreat thing and these three churches, three events we preached at. I said, I might mess up. I might make a fool out of myself. I might look foolish. I might look weak. I might look insignificant to you. But I was never meant to be here. The devil had a plan for my life. And I'm from East Tennessee, and I'm preaching the gospel in Oklahoma. I said, I don't care how bad it ever gets. I'm good. I'm good. So, I mean, I'm going to try to get it together, and I'll preach for you. And that's what we did, and God's good. Amen? And every flight and everything that – if that pilot said 10 more minutes one more time, I thought, man, I'm going to go up there and grab that guy by the throat. Hour and 45 minutes – we got on the plane at 10:30. We flew out of there at like 1:45. But every few minutes, he would go, about 10 more minutes, folks. I'm like, just be quiet and do what you're doing. It don't matter now. 10 more minutes, folks. I was like, move over. He's got the door open. I'll talk to him. Anyway, that was the trip. Thank y'all for praying. Thank Ed for preaching. What a wonderful man just to be able to go. I missed the second. There's a first and second for me here as far as events go. The fall festivals, as a church group, that's number one for me. Right neck and neck of that was marriage retreat, okay? Marriage retreat's just stupid fun, okay? We get a lot done while we're there. We have a lot of deep marital stuff, but we laugh, like belly laugh stuff. I mean, stuff where you go, man, it's good. So those two events, so to miss that event plus the sleep deprivation was really over the top. All right, let's go. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Y'all ready to get into Word? I just ripped my Bible. Man, that's terrible. If I say something or do something weird, remind yourself that I'm still not 100% back to normal, whatever my normal is. So I could still be way out there a little bit. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself. Y'all see that right there? Guys, we're going to be constantly in the next few months, or probably in the next few weeks, we're going to stay on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights. We're going to be right here. We're going to be teaching on the Spirit of God. Amen. I know Gary's adult Sunday school class, if you want to partner up, they're doing a book about the Spirit in the church, the Spirit of God in the church. So that would marry up good with Wednesday and Sunday. So if you don't have anything else to do, jump in there in that class with them, and this thing will kind of come together for you. I hope. I'm on my end. It's God, because I never talked to him about it. He said, we're starting this book. We're already in this. So if you ain't got anything else to do on Sunday at 10 o'clock, come be with them. But I want y'all to get in this. Sunday mornings, we're going to be dealing with some things that I think the world's going through. So you'll This will be more spirit-led on Wednesday, Sunday night. We'll deal with that flesh some on Sunday mornings, okay? So come ready for that too. So 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. There's two. You got the Holy Spirit of God that's in you. That doesn't belong to you. That's God. Amen? I'll get that. Spirit of God moves in. Your spirit man in there, he comes born again. They're constantly bumping against each other. Amen? They're changing, molding, making new, but that Spirit of God never changed. That's God. Amen? He knows what's right. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. If you'll listen to that Spirit of God, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, that new spiritual man, he will lead you the right way. Amen? And you got a biblical guide to go along with that. Amen? You can understand if it's God, because guess what? It's going to line up right with this. But all of a sudden, praise God, you're going to have a direction to your life. But it watches right here. It bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Ain't that good? I'm being honest with you. Ain't that good? Because I'm telling you, we have got this spirit. Hey, some people, I think I said this last Wednesday. Who do you think you are? I don't think I'm anybody. I know I'm a child of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God reminds me. You're mine. You belong to me. I will bless you, I will send you, I will use you, I will correct you, I will mold you, I'll make you. Amen? Good. I want all that. Amen? I need all that. Some of us know our earthly fathers, they did all that. Our earthly mothers, they did that. When somebody loves you, you get the full package. Amen? As you get older, you look back and you thank God for all the good lessons. You thank your mom and dad for all the good lessons they taught you, some skills they showed you. They might have showed you how to cook a certain thing or mend a certain thing. Your mom or your dad might have showed you how to fix a certain thing or how to work on a certain thing. But he also what? He got into you. He corrected you. And at that time, you thought, man, I don't like my dad. I don't like that. But then as you got older, you realized when you wasn't in jail or prison or a knucklehead, right, or you had friends, you realize, hey, my dad was all right. Amen? That was for my betterment. I'll preach on correction some other time. We are the children of God. Praise God. I'm glad I'm always reminded that by God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I know I'm going to slow this down real quick because I want y'all to get that last part. Because I like to dwell, my flesh would love to dwell on the fact that I am joint heirs with Christ. I mean, wouldn't you? Okay, let me say it this way. If you had a rich uncle somewhere that you didn't know about who passed away, you'd like to hear there's an inheritance for you somewhere. Let's go a little bit further out. Your great-great-great-grandfather was a gazillionaire, and he died, and we just found out you were an heir, right? Okay, we're heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. My flesh, all right. I'm going to inherit heaven. Amen. Great. But before you receive that, you got to do this. What? You have to suffer. Amen. We're joint heirs with Christ, but guess what? We are joint sufferers with Christ on this planet. Amen. To be joint heirs, that means you are in Christ. That means you must take up your cross. And if you take up your cross, you must be willing to suffer to get the inheritance. Amen. Does that make sense? Guys, that's a powerful word, because if you're not careful, you will forget the suffering part, and when it happens to you, you'll be stuck in a rut for a while. However long you're in that rut will be up to you, and you talking to God, you dealing with the Holy Spirit, and you saying, hey, I forgot this is a part of the program. Are y'all all right? And I'm sitting here on a Wednesday night. I mean, everything pretty much is going pretty good. I'm recovering from my trip. I'm kind of getting back. I hope. But I want you to know this. There's going to be a day not long from now. Everybody in this room is going to go through some suffering because we love Jesus. And you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to figure out, wait a minute, this is not a strange thing. It's a strange thing when I don't suffer. You okay? It's a strange thing when I don't suffer for Jesus, because for me to tell people about Jesus means they must figure out that they're going the wrong direction. They need salvation. They're going to have to repent and give up on their whole life and accept Jesus. And a lot of people don't want to do that. Instead of them doing that, the easiest thing, the most closest thing to that is hate you. Has anybody got anybody like that? Hey, I love you, man. I want to tell you, you need Jesus Christ. Well, that sounds good. And some of your people in your life are going to be like, man, you're awesome, man. You're a fireball. But the world don't think like that. Some of y'all in this very room know what I'm talking about. You show up to the wrong time of a family reunion, family get-together. They know what time it is. I wonder if they're going to talk about Jesus. I wonder if they're going to invite me to church. I wonder if they're going to want to pray. I wonder if they're going to corner me off somewhere and try to get me saved. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, we are. That's what our whole goal is. Because we love you. You're our family. We don't want you just to be here on this earth. We want you to go to heaven. We can have a good time. We can play cornhole. We can eat. We can do these things. But man, more than likely, I'm going to try to get to Jesus with you. I'm going to try to steer you to Jesus. But we got to be willing to suffer for that. Remember that. Let's get this last, 16, 17, 18. For I reckon that the suffering, this thing wrote in the southern dialect? I didn't know Paul was from down here. For I reckon, God's good, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hey, make that a verse right there. Put that in your arsenal. Slide that in there to like when you get stuck in a rut, you got to have some things to put up under your tires, some skid to get some traction on. Let that be one of them verses that say, hey, I might be suffering right now. I'm going through this right now. But let the Spirit remind you, man, this ain't going to be nothing compared to what heaven's going to be like. Y'all good? Man, I can go through this for a couple of years, for a couple of stretches of 10,000 years plus. Amen? 10,000 years as it just begun, I'm sitting up in heaven, man. I might be suffering, might be hated on, disrespected, aggravated, whatever the case may be. Praise God. Up there for 10,000 years, be like, hey, wait a minute. God, y'all good? All right, let's go to Mark chapter 2. I call Mark chapter 2 my introductory chapter. Just about every minister I've ever been to, I didn't even realize this. I had to go back and think about it and look at it. About every minister I've ever been invited to maybe end up leading or be a part of, I always preach from Mark chapter 2. I guess it's my introductory message. But we're not going to come from the place that we normally come from. We're going to jump down below to verse 14. And the whole purpose of this is to stretch. This message would be called, Are You Willing to Stretch? Or no, not willing, Can You Stretch? How about that? That's a better one. Can You Stretch? So you want to title this up, say, Can I Stretch? Amen? When you get to the place where you can't stretch, then you're not going to be able to be used by the Lord properly. Whew, man. Can you say stuff like that? Black and white. Yes. So Mark chapter 2, verse 14, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, Follow me, and he rose and followed him. Remember when I read you that spirit, when it says, that spirit bears witness with your spirit that we are the sons of God? He says two words. It's two words right here to Matthew. Follow me. That's the shortest message in the Word of God. Amen? Think about that. Here's a man sitting at the receipt of customs, taking the taxes, counting the people, counting the money, and all of a sudden Jesus walks by and says, Hey, follow me. It ain't the volume of the words. It's when they're sent by God. He had something in his spirit who was saying, God, I want to follow you. If you would call me, I'll follow you. Amen? Don't ask God for a volume of words. Ask him for the right words. The choice words, those choice words that are rightly spoken, that's what's going to change lives. Amen? He said, follow me. Ain't that amazing? When you read the scriptures, don't that ever bug you sometimes how God's got to poke and prod and do everything with us? And then he tells one guy to quit everything, two words, follow me, and he does. Man, y'all are so awesome, man. Y'all just good. I don't even know how y'all do it. I don't know how you stand yourselves. I mean, I'm looking at you right now. does God ever have to take more than two words for you guys? He does me. I mean, I would just like to play this out. Hey, Matthew, he's sitting there. All right, you owe 20 shekels, and you owe Darius, and sir, you've got, I see your kid with you, so you'll be taxed for him too. And you rolled in here with two boats and three lambs and two goats, and sir, yes. And Jesus says, hey, follow me. He goes, okay, thank you. All right, listen, where are we going, Jesus? Right in the middle of a business day. Right at the receipt of customs. I mean, he's sitting out there at the gate doing his thing. Golly, you know what we'd have? I'm talking about born again, saved, hallelujah, head into heaven. Jesus walked by, follow me. Excuse, could you expound, Jesus? Can we have a 3-month study on that, please? And then could you please get our pastor to kind of come around and maybe confirm that? And could you, I'm going to lay a fleece out for you, just a small fleece, Lord. Amen? God, are you sure? Let's pray about it. Let me call four of my friends, get them online, right? Man, this stuff right here bugs me, man. I mean, he follow me. Yes, sir, let's go. That's good stuff. Do you think he ever regretted it? Can we learn a lesson? Do you think he ever regretted it? Can we learn a lesson? God, get it down to a few words. Let's do this thing. Amen? For me, too. Time's running out. I said that last week. Time's running out. We don't need more words. We need more direction. Let's go. Man, I'm glad. I want to be. Man, that's good, Matthew. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you for just doing what you did. Getting up and going. Don't talk about it. Don't tell everybody. Don't make a big deal. Close all your ledgers. Settle all your accounts. Get up and go. Praise God. The rest of his life, man, you know, I get in heaven. You're like, man, two words, I was on the trail. Man, I'm, golly, that's good. I don't know about you, but I can leave good tonight. Verse 15, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, Matthew's house. I'm going to kind of counter some of the preaching I've done here over the years. I'm going to kind of come at it from a different point of measure right here in a minute. Many of the publicans and sinners sat all together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Man, he's down at Levi's house with all the publicans and sinners. All the tax collectors, man, a bunch of rotten scoundrels. A bunch of sellouts. Working for the Roman Empire, selling out their countrymen for tax money and kickbacks. They know where all the stuff's hidden that you can get more money out of them. Gee, man. Jesus don't love traitors, does he? Jesus loves everybody as much as he loves you. Amen? Down there to the publicans, all sinners. I don't know what Levi, man, I got it in another one of the Gospels. Levi's a cook. He's a tax collector and a cook. God, I wish I could preach this the way I want. He liked to throw down. He was a grill man. Amen? Golly, does anybody in here like that? Does anybody here do that kind of stuff? There's certain people, some guys, most women, I just like to cook. Amen? Throwing that. I mean, you know what he'd be? Any other week, he'd be like, all right, Saturday night, we're going to the house. Get over there, we'll party, we'll throw down. But this, the only thing's changed in his life. Jesus came by, and guess what? He said, hey, Jesus, I usually have a bunch of my people over. Instead of having beer and wine and drugs and stuff, we'll just have you come. It'll be all right. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say out loud? I said the quiet part out loud. I'm sorry. He invited his buddy Jesus to the cookout now. Some of y'all need to invite Jesus to the cookout. Jesus didn't want to change everything about you. He just wanted to get involved in the things that you're involved in. Take Jesus with you everywhere you used to go. You'll either stop getting invited or you'll change the places you used to go. Amen. Preachers, get preaching. He was in that verse 16. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? I love that question. I mean, they nailed him. I mean, here's Matthew. He ain't even been an apostle. He's not even been a guy for 5 minutes. He's already getting heat. Have you got any heat for loving Jesus yet? If you ain't, you check it up. Figure it out why. Amen? They come over and ask him at the grill, why is he over here speaking? Well, I don't know. I don't even know why he talked to me. Sarah, I don't even know why he talked to me. I don't know why he's sitting with everybody here, but I don't even know why he got me. I don't know why he came by the Sea of Galilee and called me out of my fishing business. I have no idea. I don't know why he's trying to reach everybody. I don't know. He just is. Amen. Do y'all like this? Do y'all like this right here? Do y'all like the heat? Look at these Pharisees. Well, they gonna nail him. What's he doing? Oh, God, I love this. What y'all doing over at that church? Y'all let anybody in over there? Y'all do anything? Y'all crazy? Y'all doing all kinds of weird stuff? I like what this. They asked the disciples, the apostles, the questions. Guess who answered the question? Yeah. Man, sometimes you ain't got to answer. Everybody's got a dumb question. My apostles looking. That's the man, you know. And when Jesus heard it, he saith, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus said, I set up a mass unit down here at Matthew's house because he got saved. He allowed me to open up a medical clinic right up in his house. He said, I'm not here to have hamburgers and hang out. I'm here to have a hamburger, hang out, and get all these publicans and sinners saved. That's why I'm here. Amen? These people are sick and dying and need your help, but you've been walking around, spiritual giants walking around amongst of them, loving to be called Pharisee, teacher, and preacher, loving the high seats, loving to be called a man of God, but you don't care about people. We better be careful that we like being Christians, but we don't like to do the Christian work. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that is lost. Who cares where you're sitting? Who cares what you're called in public? Praise God, do you care about lost people? He said, I'm working down here. Amen. Y'all feel that? That's good. I mean, Jesus is just sitting in there amongst them, but he didn't sit in there to become them. He sat in there to go, hey, you're the ones I need to go to heaven, and this is how we're going to get it done. And the disciple, I love this. Verse 18, the Pharisees just change gears. And the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John or the Pharisees fast, but the disciples fast not? What did this do? If they can't nail Jesus, who'd they go? Get the apostles. Man, Jesus is cool, though. Better be careful if you're going to come at God. He might have all the answers. You want me to change that up a little bit? He has all the answers. But you know what they were just telling him? They were eating. They were having a good time. You might not like the way I'm going to preach this right here, but Jesus was having a good time. He was laughing. He was smiling. He was enjoying his time with these people, and he was winning people over to the kingdom of God. Most people treat lost people like, man, you get up to the house of God. Man, it's not like you got to get back to the house, you know? Man, love people. Listen to them. Listen to what their need is. I've rarely met anybody that I've talked to about Jesus when I come to them in a heart of trying to hear who they are and want to know about them. Rarely, I mean very rarely do I get, no, you leave me alone. They usually go, pfft. They usually just pour it all out and say, here's what's really going on. Amen? I love this. Verse 19, guess who answers them? My God, can we learn a lesson? This is two times in a row. We feel like we've got to fight every battle Jesus has got. God, can I do this real quick? I'm sorry. I'm making this message way longer than it needs to be. Excuse me, Jesus, I'll get them. That'd be us in this story. Let me get them. I'll tell them how it goes. Amen? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why Jesus is down here. I'll tell you why we're not fasting. Man, praise God, let Jesus deal with some people. Amen. Your silence, bro, man. Your silence might be the thing they need to hear. Whew. For the first time you didn't run off at the mouth and wear people out, they might really believe, man, hey, something about them. Whew, good God, I'll chalk that one up for me. I needed that more than you did, okay? How about that? I'll take that one if you don't want it. Verse 19, and Jesus said to them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Did you see what he just told them? Why? Does anybody here know why you fast? Why would you try to fast, ever? Oh, let me tell you why. I almost forgot. You would fast because you're not seeing any results from God, or you feel distant from God, and you want God to get involved, and you don't think it's happening at a rate, and you want to say, God, I'm serious about this. So I won't eat or I won't drink anything, and I'll let you know this is important to me, so important that I'll put aside my necessary food to let you know I'm serious in the Spirit. Oh, man. You know what the problem with that is, right? It's hard to be fasting for something that's sitting beside you eating that same thing you're eating. Sorry, God. Y'all say amen every once in a while and stuff like that. It's just good. Oh, God, I wish you would come down and speak to us. We need you so bad. And he said, oh, God, I'm right here. I'm eating the same lamb you're eating. I'm eating the same honeycomb you're eating. Peter, I'm right here. You ain't got to fast. Ain't that funny? Ain't that about like a bunch of religious people? Y'all don't fast enough. He's sitting right there. I mean, it's God in the flesh. Why in the world? We trying to get a hold of him? He's here. God, that, man, like, just smiling. Just go, man, that's a good word. Amen? Because some people, man, they'll get to me. Oh, you don't do this. You don't do that. Praise God. I've got God. I do got him. I got him on board. Some people come to me. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Praise God. God told me not to. Well, who's he? He's just God. Oh, why did you go? Oh, you finally, why'd you go? Why'd you do? Because God said to. Oh, goodness gracious. That's just good stuff. It's Wednesday night. I love this stuff. Sorry, I went for a 3 or 4 day revival. I'm kind of wound up. Deal with it. I didn't think I was going to catch any residual from that, but we did. Verse 20. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and they shall then shall they fast in those days. No man also soweth a piece. This is the whole reason we came for the message tonight. Aren't y'all glad we're finally here? No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. That's every pair of blue jeans I had in the late 70s, early 80s. That's all the illustration you need, right? Mom would put a patch on them. The patch would pull all the old material, and then there'd be another hole, and then it's gone, right? Okay. I'm sorry. I'll give you a better illustration, okay? Verse 22, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Okay, so I did this real research. The reason I didn't touch on the fabric as much, because I didn't take the time to study out the fabric as much as I did the new wineskin bottles. Amen? I got this whole thing, and I started breaking it down. And what happens is, see, the suffering and the stretching and the new, all right? When God was going to make new wine, back then, see, when Jesus taught this, when he said this, we don't put new wine in old wineskins. Everybody in the crowd went, you're right. Yep, you're right. That's obvious. Amen. What it is, see, back then, when they put wine in the old wineskins, it wasn't an automated process. So what they would have to do is when they would put the wine and the yeast into the skin, they would have to get a new animal, slaughter that animal, skin it out, sew it up, pour the wine in there, and see that new skin, while it was the gases and the things were changing, it would absorb, and that new skin would stretch. And the pores in that skin would stretch and mold because it was so flexible. It was stretchy. And it would allow the new to do what it's going to do. But after it did it one time, you could not use that wineskin again. You couldn't use that same animal skin again on a new carrying case for the wine. You couldn't, because that all those pores would have been clogged up, so where all that new wine would have tried to get out, it would have got out through some of the pores that would have been released, and the wine would have been good. Whew. Man, I've done all that studying. Y'all don't look impressed about nothing. I thought I was being smart. But when they said that, they said that new skin, that new wineskin, that had to be new every time. But after that, guess what? They had disregarded. It can never be used as a new process again. And you're sitting here going, what does that mean to us? That means to us when God comes along with something new, not a new gospel, not a new message, not a new way, but a new vehicle. A new idea. Get out. Serve people. Reach people. Get out of your tradition. Get out of the way you've always done. Get flexible. Because if you're not, I'll have to set you aside and get somebody who will stretch and flex to do what I need to be done. Praise God. Do you know how many churches are dying because they won't stretch? They won't be flexible. They won't do anything new. Their favorite word is, we've always done it this way. God's like, oh, give me some new skin. Give me some new skin. Give me some new people. And they ain't got to be old, young, or indifferent. They just got to be some people saying, God, I'm willing to do it your way instead of my way. Pour into me. And I'll change, and I'll conform to you. And God, you can use me. Hey, man, some of y'all just need to do this. Some of y'all need to go, God, I've got some things. I'm setting my way, but I'll change for you. I'll go with you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll just get in line with you. You don't have to get in line with me. You know how many churches, you know how many ministries are sitting around right now going, God, you got to get in line with me. Because this way we do this. And God's over here going, man, I've got a whole group. I've got a whole generation coming. Amen? I've got a whole generation. Listen, we went through 2019, 2020, and 2021. You don't think God had any hand in COVID? You don't think God had any hand in using COVID? I think God was begging us to get out of the comfort zones that we've been in. I think he was saying, God, lay bum, change a little. Go outside and look at some people. Amen? Go outside and see something different. Amen? That's what changed everything for me. God turned it upside down for me. He said, you'll no longer, this is not, the idea of the church is not three meetings sitting in here hearing a word all the time. It's doing something with what you heard. Sometimes we need to turn all the lights off and go out and say, hey, we're your neighbor. We love you. I mean, when's the last time the church even touched anybody? When's the last time the church ever hugged anybody? When's the last time the church fed somebody? I'm not bragging about what we did, but you know everybody we encountered that night, you know what time we encountered them? Sunday night at 6. You know what they were thinking? We'll have to see them. Surprise, here we are. Amen? Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to say to somebody, well, I thought y'all were at church at this time. We are having church at this time. We're just having it here with you. We just changed the location. The church is the church. This is one part of the church's body too. We say it all the time. We sing it in songs. We are the hands and feet of Christ. If for about 6 years we've been handicapped. Amen. We needed a little placard where we could park in the handicap spot. Praise God. Would it be good to literally live by that? God stretch me. Pour into me. Let the bad get out and let the good stay in. God, you can use me. Amen. Let's all stand. Has this message helped you? Praise God. I love Wednesday night. I was going to say something bold. I'd probably never say it. I'd never say it. I would never say something like, there's a lot of people here on Sunday morning, but there's a lot of God on Wednesday night. I'd never say that. I'd never say it.